Amen. Let's pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that your word is living and active. Every time we read it, Lord, if we would be willing to be listeners and doers, God, you come and move in power over our lives. And tonight, we just desire to hear your voice alone, God. I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Let your word be rich. Let it be full of truth tonight, God. I pray that we would receive it, that it would accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it out. In your name we pray, and for your glory only. Amen. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Surrounded. We each have an idea of what we would like to be surrounded by. If I were to ask the question, I might get some different responses. But probably all of us tonight would say we would want to be surrounded by family, by loved ones, by godly relationships. I want to be surrounded by a people of God who are committed and passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be surrounded by worshipers when we think of the picture in heaven of the angels continually worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be surrounded by a touch of heaven, don't we? And while we may have this in our lives, we also are surrounded by a culture who do not all live according to the truth of God's word, according to the fullness of his standard. We are surrounded by ungodliness. We are surrounded by the kingdom of self-serving, by spiritual powers of darkness that are working to cause the God purpose within believers to be weak and ineffective. We are surrounded by conversations that are contrary to God's perspective, that contradict God's thoughts, his plans, and his power. And the truth of God's word commands us and even urges us to change the conversation so that the words and the thoughts that surround us are anointed and full of spiritual truth. In order for us to be successful in changing the conversations and the spiritual atmosphere that we are surrounded with, we may need to change some of the relationships who are speaking into our lives. We may need to change what we are listening to and watching. And as we reflect on our surroundings, the question is presented to all of us, which is this: are we being influenced or are we influencing? Are we surrounded by those who trust the Lord or who trust in themselves? Have we experienced moments or seasons where it has felt like we are surrounded by the enemy, where it looks as though the enemy's army is circling, is closing in around you on all sides? Thoughts, emotions, feelings, words that are being spoken, reports that you are receiving. Perhaps there has been a time where it seems as though you cannot see past your surroundings. The good news, though, tonight is that there is an army that is greater and stronger than the army of the enemy. This is the truth of God's word for us tonight. Can we receive that? The word of God gives clear teaching on how and when the Lord's army surrounds his people. Let's look at that tonight in Psalm 125, verses 1 to 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. The promise here is that the Lord surrounds his people who trust in him. You see, we are responsible, family of God, tonight, to walk in such a manner that the Lord would fight for us. We are responsible to walk in such a manner that he would surround us and defeat our enemies. Our main passage tonight comes from Psalm chapter 32. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there tonight. Psalm 32, verses 6 to 7 and verse 10 to 11. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. I am so thankful that the promise of the Lord is that he will surround us with his mercy and with his songs of deliverance. How do we walk in such a way that this promise of the Lord would be released in our lives? Number one tonight is stay in formation. Stay in formation. The military trains soldiers on the importance of staying in their proper formation. Each soldier has a specific function, a role. They are trained to support each other to be effective as a strong army. The same principle is applied to the church as we are the army of God. We each have specific functions and roles. The Word of God teaches us about the function of our leaders, about the importance of staying in formation under the authority of God first and foremost. The same principle is applied to us as individuals. We are to be united and in proper formation with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our spiritual formation tonight is represented in our words and our actions. Our spiritual formation is represented in whether we are listeners to God's word as well as doers of his word. Our spiritual formation and how we walk with the Lord and we carry our weapons is crucial to us being effective in pushing through the enemy's army that seeks to surround us. Our verses from Psalm 32 speaks about our formation in the Lord. It speaks of prayer. It speaks of songs of warfare, unwavering trust in God, living righteously. In the Amplified Version, our verses read like this: Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you for forgiveness in a time when you are near and may be found. Surely when the great waters of trial and distressing times overflow, they will not reach the Spirit in him. You are my hiding place. You, Lord, protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in and relies on the Lord shall be surrounded with compassion and loving kindness. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous who actively seek right standing with him. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Verse 6 here, it tells us, let everyone who is godly stay in formation with the Lord by praying to him. You see, the standard in which we live our lives according to the word of God is important to the Lord. The level of our godliness, of our righteousness, of our holiness in him is directly related to him releasing his mercy over our lives, releasing those songs of deliverance over us. It says, for he is near and may be found. For when those who are godly stay in formation with the Lord, it is then, surely when the great waters of trial and distressing times overflow, they will not reach the Spirit within us. We are promised that he will surround us with mercy, with songs and shouts of deliverance when we stay in formation through prayer, through repentance, through an unwavering trust, and through godly living. You see, staying in formation tonight means that we do not go ahead of the Lord. It means that we do not veer off of the path that he has set out for us. Staying in formation and in unity with the Lord means that we also do not lag behind him, that we do not drag our feet when it comes to following Jesus Christ and picking up our cross. It means that we do not compromise the standard of his word, the standard of his holiness. This is what it means to stay in formation with the Lord. 2 Samuel 22, verse 5. Says, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. There are moments when the waves of death, when the floods of ungodliness that surround us could possibly cause fear to win, could possibly cause compromise to win, could cause a weakened faith to win. For sure we are surrounded by the ungodliness. For sure we are surrounded by the fear of death. But church, the Spirit of the Lord calls us to rise up and to stay in formation through our godliness, through our prayer, through our repentance, and the Lord will surround us with his mercy and with his songs of deliverance. When we are staying in formation with the Holy Spirit, there will be times where you will be able to see the enemy for sure, but do not let him penetrate your shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Do not let him take that sword of the Spirit that you carry and that you wield. The Lord will surround us with mercy and songs of deliverance when we, number two tonight, recognize the visitation of God's power. Psalm 32, verse 6 and 10, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. I'm so thankful that this is the time when the Lord can be found. He is found when we search for him. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. We must not leave the safety of the protection of the Lord. Our faith must not waver in the presence of the Lord. There is a passage in the New Testament where we see the passion of Jesus towards a people, and he gives them warning over what happens when they give the enemy a foothold in their lives. He warns them of the enemy's holds if they did not recognize the time of their visitation. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. We are warned here of the danger of us not recognizing and surrendering to the visitation of God's power upon our lives. It says that our enemies will succeed in not only surrounding us, but in destroying us. The picture here is that of Jesus, who is literally and physically weeping over these people, crying passionately for these people to wake up, to understand that his visitation of mercy has come upon him, that the day of salvation has come, and the time is now. Jesus weeps over his church today. He weeps over the lost today, even over the believers who perhaps have left the way that they once followed, who have started to take for granted his mercy, who have started to take for granted the grace upon their lives. May we take our salvation seriously, church. May we take his forgiveness seriously in our lives. Repent if it is needed. Humble ourselves continually under the mighty hands of God, and he will lift us up. The enemy is waiting and seeking to surround us and to close in on every side, it says, but not only to us, but to the children around us, to the children in our lives. Jesus weeps for us to recognize his visitation, to be aware of his presence. He has made a way for us to be victorious over the sting and the snare of death. Can you say amen? Verse 10 from Psalm 32, it says, mercy shall surround us. The mercy of God is the power of his visitation in our lives. Do we understand the mercy of God over us? I mean, truly. Do we recognize his mercy? Do we honor his mercy? Do we respect his mercy over us? Perhaps we need to pray and sing more often, Lord, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us become more aware of your mercy that surrounds us. Let us be thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes over us, that forgives us, that cleanses us, that draws us near and keeps us in formation with him. When the enemy has surrounded us, we will only break free when we recognize the power of his visitation, that his mercy is at hand for us. Let not pride keep us from being surrounded by his mercy. Otherwise, the enemy will win and will close in on every side. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I pray we would recognize afresh the power of God's visitation so that when the enemy seeks to surround us, we can see past the enemy. We can see God's mercy surrounding us. We can see the army of God's angels fighting for us to push through those enemy lines. And number three tonight, the final thing is breakouts. Psalm 32, verse 7, you surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. The Passion Translation reads, Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. It's come to my attention that in the military, there is a term known as breakout. It's one word. I wrote it as two words, but it's only one word, breakouts. And the definition reads like this. A breakout is a military operation to end a situation of an enemy's surrounding through offensive operations that achieve a breakthrough. In other words, when an army is surrounded by the enemy, there is only one way that they can save themselves, and it is referred to as a breakout. It is an offensive mission where they marshal all of their resources. They focus on one spot on the enemy's location. They put everything and everyone on that one spot, and they defeat the enemy in that area and get through the enemy line. You see, there are moments in our lives where we will need to marshal all of the resources that the Lord has given to us in His Word. Face the enemy head on and break out. There are instances in the Bible when God's people found themselves surrounded by difficult situations, impossible odds, physical armies that in the natural seemed as though they were greater and stronger than the army of the Lord. And in these instances, sometimes there was a prophet who was commanded to break out in prophecy against the enemy and declare the word of the Lord. In some of these moments, God used the weapon of prayer and praise in his people as they broke out into prophetic song against their enemies. A few examples of these tonight. The first is found in the life of Ezekiel. Familiar passage to all of us, but when he was surrounded by the dead and dry bones, Ezekiel was in the valley and he was surrounded by spiritual death. He was surrounded by spiritual dryness, by hopelessness. In verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, God says to him that all of these bones that surround him, they represent the whole house of Israel who were dead in their hopelessness. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And we know his response where he says, O Lord God, you know. And God began to command Ezekiel in the principle of prophesying to these bones. And as Ezekiel began to prophetically declare the word of the Lord, God used this as a breakout against these bones, against this dryness, and he breathed life into every single one of those bones and caused a vast spiritual army to arise. The enemy of spiritual dryness surrounds us. The enemy of compromise, the enemy of apathy surrounds us. And there will be moments where the Lord will cause us to use a prophetic word of the Lord to begin to speak against that enemy, to begin to call the spiritual army of God to arise in the name of Jesus. In Joshua chapter 8, God commanded Joshua to go up against the king of Ai and the entire city. And Joshua and the army, after specific direction from the Lord, they set an ambush against the city so that everybody in the city would come out. And now they had their enemies surrounded. And God commanded Joshua to stretch out his spear towards the enemy. And we know how the story goes, that God defeated that enemy that day as long as Joshua had the spear stretched out. And it says that Joshua did not draw back his hand, which held the spear, until he had utterly destroyed the inhabitants of Ai. You see, the spear in this story, and we've heard it before, it represents our warfare prayers. There are moments when God will say, it's time for you to face your enemy, to stretch out the spear of your warfare prayers, and I will win the battle for you. We need to understand the weapons and these situations and how the Lord would call us to face these enemies sometimes. The last example is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I love this story. It's a powerful story of how praise was used as a breakout towards the enemy. And God moved in response to this. It's the story of Jehoshaphat when he was told that a great multitude of enemies were coming to battle against him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you received a report that a great multitude of enemies were coming to battle against you, there might be a little bit of fear in our natural man that might surface. And it says in this passage that Jehoshaphat feared this battle, and so he set himself to seek the Lord. He did the right thing. He declared a fast all throughout Judah, and all the people gathered together to seek help from the Lord. We're going to read some of the verses. Verse 12, it says, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Verse 15, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Verses 17 to 22, the Lord says, "Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated in the name of the Lord. What a great example to us. What great stories to encourage and to strengthen our faith, church. Can you see the picture that the Lord wants to show us through this story of Jehoshaphat and his army? They began to face their enemy, and the Lord commanded them to sing. They could see their enemies surrounding them on all sides, and the Lord said, "I want you to begin to sing. Begin to lift your voices loud and high as you face the enemy. And would you sing these words," the Lord says, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And I imagine that the entire army stood with their hands raised, singing praise unto the Lord. And as soon as the praise began to arise, the Lord's army was on the other side of those enemies, and he began to set ambushes against every single one of them, and he defeated all of them, it says. There is a powerful principle in this story for us. Perhaps you have feared the enemies who have surrounded you at times. Let us learn from these men and women in God's word. Let us surrender as Jehoshaphat led his people to do, faces to the ground. There might be a time where God might be calling you to surrender afresh, to actually get on your face before him. And as we begin to surrender and we get our faces on the ground before him, then there will be a time where he will call us to rise up and to begin to sing with voices loud and clear and high. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And God will cause his mercy to win for us. God will defeat our enemies. In the moments of God's people being surrounded by ungodliness, by fear, by physical armies, he stirred and he commanded his people to break out with his word, with prophetic prayers, and with praise unto his name. We have been given spiritual weapons and resources that we need to marshal together. For when we use them, they cause God to shout and to sing over us according to his word. His mercy fights for us, church, and he slays every single enemy that we face. The main weapons of our warfare that are mentioned most often in Scripture are the weapons of prayer, the weapons of praise, the sword of the Spirit, and the weapon of righteousness. We must not forget the weapon of our righteousness. When we choose godliness, when we choose righteousness, the standard of God's holiness upon our lives, the Lord moves in mercy upon us. Psalm 5, verse 12, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. You see, our weapons, they are not carnal, and no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Psalm 118, verse 11, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Let's have the worship team return at this time. How many are thankful that whatever enemy we find ourselves surrounded with, our God wins the victory for us in the name of Jesus? And the truth tonight that God wants to strengthen us with, church, is this, that when the enemy is closing in, and when he seeks to surround us on all sides, the army of God is on the other side of that enemy. And you know, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to ask this question tonight. You see, it's easy for us to see the enemy sometimes, but can we look past the enemy and see the Lord? Can we look past the enemy and see the mercy of God fighting for us? And I believe the Lord would want to ask this question tonight, that as the enemy seeks to infiltrate our spirits, what will we do? What are we doing when the enemy is surrounding us, when his army looks great and fiercer and stronger than we feel in the moments? What is it that we are going to do when that enemy of death confronts us, when the enemy of fear wants to grab a hold of us, when the enemy of temptation and godly, whatever it is, whatever the enemy is that you are facing in your life, when the enemy is facing you, what is it that we will do? Will we shrink in fear? Will we allow fear to have a stronghold over our lives? Will we stop coming to church? Will we isolate ourselves? Will we close the Word of God and put it up on a shelf? Will it stop losing power in our lives? Will we stop getting on our knees to pray before the Lord? When we do come to church and the enemy is surrounding us, will we stand mute in worship with our voices closed and our hands hanging down? What will we do when the enemy seeks to surround us? Will we allow compromise to seep in? Will we allow the world to get a hold of our spirits? Will we let the waves enter our spirits? What will we do when the enemy seeks to surround us? Because you see, God is waiting. He's waiting to move on our behalf. And he's waiting to see what we are going to do. He is waiting to see what we are going to do in the moments when our enemy is coming against us so fiercely and so strongly. And he's saying, there's my son, there's my daughter, there's my church. Will they pick up their weapons? Will they stay in formation under my power? Will they stay united with me? Will they recognize my mercy, the visitation of my power and my presence upon them? And will they begin to break out with a prophetic word? Will they get on their faces before me? Will they call out to Jesus for his mercy? Will they begin to declare and prophetically sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever? Because church, when we do this, the Lord releases his army of angels. It is then that he sets ambush against every single enemy and he defeats them in the name of Jesus. He allows us to cross the enemy lines. And what is more than that, he doesn't allow us just to cross the enemy lines, because we can look behind us and still see the enemy, but only for a moment, because it says that God will trample every enemy under our feet. He may stand for a moment, but not for long when God is moving, because he will surround us with mercy, with shouts and songs of deliverance according to his word, so that every enemy is trampled under our feet. Hallelujah. Where the spirit of heaviness is, we put on the garment of praise. His mercy and songs of deliverance surround us. His strength and his power is within us. I want to end tonight by reading several verses. Just where you are tonight, would you allow the living word of God to enter your spirit, to strengthen you, to cause a greater faith to arise if that's where you are tonight? But this passage is entitled Samuel's Praise for God's Deliverance. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Just begin to prophetically declare that over your life tonight. "When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. He sent from above. He took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For by you I can run against a troop. As for God, his way is perfect. He is a shield to all who trust in him. God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.